Famous author and activist Marianne Williamson says that in every moment, in every relationship, your heart is either open or closed. My question is, who do you want to be in your own love story? Hello, and welcome to the Kindness Intelligent Podcast with your host, myself, Chris Davis. And today we are going to talk about recognizing the barriers and really the role, your role that you have in your own love story. So I'm really going to break this down with a couple of tropes that happen in traditional rom-coms and how we see ourselves in these, because I really think there are amazing cues and identifiers that allow us to go, oh wait, like, oh shit, I totally do that, or I perceive myself that way. And it's a really great mirror to kind of assess old stories or excuses and patterns of belief that you have, like watching it in real time. So regardless of gender norms, I think being queer has really allowed me to explore it from an equal playing field, because I think from a very, you know, heteronormative, like male pursues women kind of, you know, thing, I think it's more complicated than pursuee versus pursuer, you know, like, are you in those categories? I think it really is where you're situating yourself in certain circumstances. So, and once you kind of identify, like, okay, this is the situation I'm in, and then this is the role that I have decided in the story that I'm playing in my mind, because you do have to take responsibility for it. I think that's the other thing that a lot of people, you know, they're like, this is happening to me. But once you kind of know, you realize, okay, wait, I'm playing this role. Like, this is my role. And do I want to change it? So let's start with a few beautiful, the first one that I think is my most, I was kind of grown with this one, but I think one trope that I find is very traditional is the one where, you know, you've got the one who's like, you know, who's really stern, who's really like the killjoy, who's really not into love, like the cynic, who's like, no, like, we can't, for, you know, because of my race, because of my socioeconomic status, because of my gender, because of, you know, it doesn't matter the film. I mean, I think you watch The Greatest Showman. I think that's one that always, I absolutely love that movie, but it's kind of cool to watch Zendaya, who's this amazing performer, kind of trapeze artist, if you will, and she happens also to be a person of color. And in around the time of the 1800s, it wasn't really acceptable to have a biracial relationship. And she happens to fall in love with Zac Efron, who's incredibly rich. So you already know where the story is going to go, right? So even if you just like listen to the song Rewrite the Stars, you kind of hear her going, it's impossible, it's not going to happen, you know, and he's like, I love you, we're going to make it work, let's do this. And I think that's where you really have to go, like, okay, are you the optimist in this, or are you the killjoy? And of course, you know, he ends up running into a fire, and then she's like, oh my God, I like changed my mind, we can make this work. Like, so please, for the love of all that is holy, if you were the killjoy, like, just let yourself be loved, okay? Just let it happen. There are no rules to love. Like, fuck the rules. Let them love you. If they're rich, let them love you. It doesn't matter. And for the person who's like this optimistic person, don't run into a fire. Like, don't get hit by a bus. Don't freaking, you know, convince. I think that's where we've played this part. And you don't have to convince anyone. And this other person has to kind of make it out for themselves. So one thing I would say in this is I love astronomy and I'm like totally into it. And what I recently read is that stars are made up as the same particles as human beings. And the song, Rewrite the Stars, friends, rewrite yourself, okay? Rewrite yourself. The stars and us are the same, so rewrite them and don't stick to the roles. Alrighty? Perfect. So that's the first thing. Like, let yourself love. Let yourself love. The next one, which I also being a teen of the 90s, is, you know, the girl on the pedestal, the boy on the pedestal. That's always the storyline of, you know, there's this person who's way ass out of my league, and I'm going to vie to change and do everything I possibly can to prove that I am worthy. What is, like, what a terrible message. What a terrible effing message to send to anyone. Couple things. First of all, this person is not a trophy. They are not a trophy to be won. They're not something to be earned. They are a walking human being. And what kind of pressure are you putting on them for even, honest to God, going, okay, I'm just going to like earn you. You're this perfect goddess of a being, and I'm going to now like hold you to this esteem. So that's like a shit ton of pressure, okay? Like, they are not perfect. They're magnificent, yes, but they're also like human, and they have faults, and they are like vulnerable, and, you know, really get to know them. And then the person who's like, I am unworthy, like, that is, don't do that to yourself. Like, you know, like, don't, equal. Everyone is equal. So I really think there's nothing to prove. So are you putting yourself in that position where you're like, I have to prove myself, I have to earn this? And for the person who's kind of the one on the pedestal, if you're in a relationship and feeling like you have to be perfect, like, that's something to address too, because you are also equal to them, and don't feel like you need to be this ultimate, you know, trophy. That's really okay. Let yourself off the hook there. And speaking of letting yourself off the hook, another one of my faves is the best friend motif, where you've got two people who clearly love each other, who are just clearly incredibly well-suited, just really have known each other for years or whatever, months, and they just, you know, they've gotten to this groove of like the friends. And so you've got one who's like, 9 times out of 10, they're the, you know, the one who's going after the girl on the pedestal, who's completely not right for them, which is irony. And then there's the best friend, right? Who just like sees them for who they are, and there's like no working for it. And they're just watching in the wings and just like silently encouraging them. So no one is that vapid. Let's be real about it. Like, I always love that in the end when they're like, oh my God, it's my best friend and I love them. And then they go and do the love run and they're like, you're the one that I want, like, for real. So, you know, like, to the best friend who's in the wings, don't be number two, dude. Just like, stop being number two. Like, that's bull. Like, you're number one. Stop being the best friend. Like, you're being the best friend, but then you're not effing reaping any of the benefits. Like, it's so shitty. You're like, you know, getting all the intimacy parts of like the love and affection, but without like the kisses and the cuddles and the dinners. Like, give yourself that. You know, you're doing half the work already. And you know, just own it. Just admit that you love this person. Like, fess up to it. Do you know what I mean? Like, just say it, just show it, just tell them. And stop waiting. And for that person who's going to do the love run for their best friend, do it today. Do that love run today, like as in now. You know, you can leave this podcast. I won't even be offended. Go do the love run right now. And just tell someone you love them, for gosh sakes. So that's a big one. Now, when you do tell someone you love them, and you really have seen clearly, another trope that I always find hilarious, and I have to say I was quite irate, like I was quite irate about this one, was, you know, you found your love, you're happy, and then you're like, oh wait, but I'm not sure. you know, the love triangle. Who should I be with? Like, who should I choose? I was watching To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and she just gets the guy. Like, it's the whole movie. I watched the whole thing. It was very sweet. And then the next one, she's like, oh, I just got him and he's great. But wait, there's another boy. And I'm like, are you effing kidding me? Like, unless you're polyamorous or in an open relationship and you two have discussed this, you haven't even been dating for like a hot minute. And you're already like, wait, there might be somebody else that I might like. Like, okay, like just, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. So if you are in a triangle of sorts and you are going, okay, so if you're one of the two contestants on The Bachelor, let's say, you know, and waiting for that rose, like decide, like, do I want to be a contestant here? Like, do I really want to be vying for this rose? Like, do I want to put myself in this position? And I've been in it. And I can tell you, I bowed out because I was like, I don't have to fucking be a contestant for anything. But maybe you might see that differently and go, okay, but I like want to be in this. But again, go from a place of like, I love this person or I care about this person or I want to see it through. And you know, hopefully you know about it. I think that's really important too. And for the decision maker, the bachelor or bachelorette of this, like really decide for yourself. And it's okay if you're unsure about what you want. That's not what I'm criticizing you about. FYI, it might've sounded like I was, but you know, just admit if you want to be in a relationship or not, it's about that. Because even if you go with like the next person, are you going to then go, oh wait, there's like, maybe I like the other person more, or maybe there's somebody else, or, you know, so just to ask yourself if you even want to be in a relationship, and then ask yourself with who, like ask yourself truly what you want. And that's tricky to do when you have multiple feelings involved, but just really be clear before you make a decision going forward. And give all of them, go all in and don't go like 90 and be like, we'll see later. Like, that's what I mean about the triangle. You got to go like, this is the decision. I am firm. Like, that's what I'm going to do. So if you're in that position, take responsibility for it and decide, right? Like, that's where you got to decide. Unless you're in a polyamorous or open relationship, then that's a whole other can of, you know, explanation, which is awesome. And speaking of can of awesome, the last one, which is like my ultimate favorite, is, you know, being single. So for those who are single, I'm not saying you don't need time to figure things out. And if you're, you know, if you've gone for a breakup or if you're focusing on your career or that's awesome. Like these are all amazing things. But I think when you're single, I always ask someone, are you guarding yourself from something? Because if you view being in a relationship as something that's going to take away from you or something that's going to hurt you or something that you're trying to avoid, I think that's a bigger subject. And if that's like screaming anywhere in your brain, like, I am fine by myself, I don't need anyone, like that's where we're like, okay, like, alrighty, maybe something that we need to address, because no one who is the right person or is loving is gonna harm you. They're gonna enrich your life. So that's something to really admit to yourself. And you don't have to stand high on the hill like a lonely goatherd, okay? Like, you don't have to just be all by yourself. You don't have to prove that you're this, you know, fundamental, you know, strong, independent person, which you are, but you don't need to do that by yourself. So I used to think I was so savvy doing that. Like, I was like, look at me, I don't have to have all these petty fights and deal with this extra emotion. Like, I'm so smart. I'm like beyond it. Like, I'm just avoiding it. And you know, I definitely had this better than thou attitude where I thought, I was a genius for being single. Like I thought, ooh, look at me. I'm avoiding all the world's problems. But that's the crux of it all. You're avoiding. And I was like, ah, shit. So really insert a, you know, one of my favorite high school hits. Do You Think You're Better Off Alone by Alice DJ on repeat. And, you know, I really did hold this pattern for quite some time and being in and out of relationships. And, but I realized that even as I was hearing that song, I was like, wait, I kind of have held this pattern even as a teen. And for me, it was really avoiding affection and love and admiration for, in particular, for girls I was attracted to because I didn't feel safe. And in that circumstance, as a, you know, quiet little teen, it was because I was afraid that I was going to be hurt or judged or, you know, I wasn't out yet. So there was a lot, but I think something that there was I could do for myself now as a 34-year-old and having the experience that I have is knowing that I want to believe that it's possible. Like I want to believe for my teenage self, for my hurt self, whatever that may be, wherever you are in your journey, that I want to show myself that I can have a wonderful, beautiful, sweet relationship with someone who I deeply care for. So that I can show my affection, my admiration, my love. So I don't want to be that trapped teenager anymore who's not able to express her love and heart. And this is all why I would say being single is the perfect opportunity for you to stand in hope for yourself and really be that living example of creating your own love story. So wherever you are, in whatever role you're playing in the circumstance, you really can rewrite it. So remember that and just promise me that you'll keep it in mind that you can change and be sure to write it with your heart in mind, friends, and just make it your own. You've been listening to the Kindness Intelligence podcast. Thank you so much again for tuning in. If you have any more questions or feedback, you can reach me at Insta at KatieInTheCity30. Thanks so much again. I love you and chat soon.